Our exploration of radical learning spaces led us into conversations with all kinds of people. We made forts with preschoolers, sat in on classes, learned songs and read stories. We had giggle fits and intellectual discussions with students 6 years old to 16 years old. At every school we visited, we asked the question, what does learning mean to you?
Learning is, to me, is defined by a new experience. And every day is a new experience at the school.
I think what turns you on, what lights you up, what makes life worth living.
Thinking more about things, experiencing new things.
Who you are, what you like to do, what you're about, where you're from.
Learning to them is about just inquiring and being excited about learning more about something. And it's not, you know, sit down, write the letter R 17 times and...
Learning is, I would look at it as making meaning of the world and also yourself.
This process of excitement and inquiry is a beautiful thing. Only through the conventional school system do kids equate this growth with the coercive burden of education. Chris, teacher, Albany Free School.
Oftentimes, you know, the structures and the routines and the rituals and so on, I mean, they really profoundly, you know, screw up the process, inhibit learning, undo learning.
Vernon, volunteer, Olympia Free School.
One thing I just experienced over and over is having an incredible desire to learn and feeling so stagnant and so blocked in school. And that just seemed like the most incredible contradiction in the entire world for me. It was just so frustrating to spend my hours between 8 and 3 at school and feel like I just wasted, you know, 7 hours of my life, and then being able to escape and go home and read. It's just, and trying to connect somewhere in the community and feeling like school is blocking that for me, it was just the greatest hypocrisy. It's like, if this is an institution that is supposed to further my education and is supposed to further me as a human being, then why am I feeling so jaded?
Getting away from that confusion looks like students directing their own paths and processes.
Pretty short, it's in G minor.
Whether a person is a homeschooler, an unschooler, going to public school, going to private school, that person, their parents, if they're young, need to back up as far as possible and remember that it's up to them to define their own education, to define their own sense of what life is about.
I ask our friends, what's your favorite thing about school? And they always say choice time, which is when you get to do what you want.
Have you asked them what they want to do? You know, maybe they want to be a dancer.
Or maybe they want to read a book about their own cultural history, or go to a creek in their local ecosystem, or simply be provided a toolkit or art supplies. Patricia, unschooling mother, Missoula.
There's all sorts of things that we learn things from that don't come out of a book or somebody standing at the front of a classroom. And I think children are the best way to really understand that.
Angie, student, Dane County Transition School.
No matter where you are, you're in your car.
People you hang out with?
You're walking down the street. You're visiting your relatives.
Are learning and living so separate? That's the question teacher and writer John Holt posed to readers in the 60s and 70s in his books, such as Escape from Childhood and Teach Your Own. Holt believed that humans are learning all the time by exploring and doing as part of simply being alive. He criticized compulsory schooling's efforts to box learning into a specific time and place. Instead, he promoted unschooling, a new take on the homeschooling movement that used the world as its classroom and children's own interests and play as its curriculum. Grace Llewellyn, writer and founder of the Not Back to School Camp in Eugene, Oregon, is known as one of the instigators of today's unschooling movement.
One thing about defining an unschooler that is tricky is it's really talking about what we're taking ourselves away from. It's about choosing not to participate in the conventional model of learning and education. So what that leaves behind is kind of an empty place, a beginning place. It's just a place from which we look at ourselves, we look at the other people we know, if we're a parent, we look at our children, and we try to discern how we can best live and learn.
Holt's ideas also gave way to the free school movement of the 60s and 70s and are still hugely influencing radical learning projects today, like the Albany Free School in New York, where Chris Mercogliano taught for 30 years.
What we tend to believe here is that learning is just a biological act. Children are just completely predisposed to learn. You know, you don't need elaborate routines and structures and rituals so that kids will learn whatever. It's just not necessary.
Young people like Melissa at Windsor House in Vancouver, British Columbia, know where learning really happens.
I mean, my mom has taught me most of anything that I know when it comes to anything scientific and anything mathematical, because it just comes up in everyday life, like cooking. There was a home ec class in Van Tech, but I hated it. Sorry, that's my old high school. And like, it sucked. It was boring. I didn't like the teacher. And then my mom is like, well, if you don't put this in, the cake will explode. So you gotta put that in. And you just learn by just doing it and just like living.
Many schools accommodate only a few learning styles, predominantly academic, left-brain activities, with half an hour for art if you live in some places. And kids who can't learn within the lines are underestimated. Their passions are dulled, their strengths go unchallenged, and they may be medicated or labeled a risk, a failure, or learning disabled. Sophie, student, Village Free School.
You were different from other people, then you were considered weird or bad, really sucked. And yet, all these kids from the school had different learning styles that weren't being met.
In raising her four children, teacher Barb from the Harmony School in Bloomington, Indiana, made the same realizations.
Each one of them, the four of them, needed obviously different ways of expressing what they knew and different ways of accessing material. And I think I was real tuned into that and realized that schools are crazy institutions when they expect that everybody's going to learn in the same way. I mean, it's nonsense when my four were clearly so different.
The flexibility of radical learning spaces makes room for all the different ways kids learn. Barb.
We have a student in the engine class, for instance, who just has a very unique way of learning. He doesn't do much with reading and writing and sitting, but ask him to learn standing on his feet and orally, and the guy can learn anything.
Melanie, founder, The New School.
You just saw Chloe and Joe spur the moment discussion of number theory and the nature of number, okay? That kind of spur the moment conversation happens. Sometimes you'll have people who want to learn on their own, and they may study, read book after book, and then they'll come to us if they have a question. Well, that's independent study, and there are kids who like to learn like that. Then you have the kids who like one-on-one, and you might have organized regular meetings one-on-one. Chloe and I do writing together because she's someone who likes an organized schedule that makes her feel comfortable.
Given freedom and genuine trust, young people succeed by following their hearts. Patricia, unschooling mother, Missoula.
It's interesting how magical it is in the process, because if you just step back and let it unfold, it really does happen.